Thank you so much, Mike. I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic. I'm just going to read our theme. This comes from Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164 from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Cynthia, who is going to lead us into the second step prayer.
Thanks, Mark. Cynthia, alcoholic.
Hi, Cynthia. We love you, Cynthia. Lots and lots and lots and lots. How much? Bunches.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you guys. All right. We have Teresa here doing her talk on step two. So I'll start you off with the second step prayer. We can have a moment of silence for the still suffering alcoholic, both in and outside of these rooms. Heavenly Father, I know in my heart that only you can restore me to sanity. I humbly ask that you remove all twisted thought and addictive behavior for me on this day. Heal my spirit and restore me in a clear mind. Thanks, guys. I'll pass it over to Ashley, who's going to do the reading.
Hi, guys. My name is Ashley Patzer, and I am an alcoholic. I will be reading from page 45 out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously, but where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. And it means, of course, that we are going to talk about God. Here, difficulty arises with agnostics. Many times we talk to a new man and watch his hope rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship. But his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God, for we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. Next up, we have Teresa F. from North Hills, California. The first time I ever heard her, I was in a sober living home. I was doing my deep clean and I was looking up speakers online. And her story, every time, it always speaks to me. And it is my great pleasure to introduce Teresa F. from North Hills, California.
You should be able to mute yourself.
Hi. Well, we are running as if you put something on the TV for mom. Sorry. Hi, everyone. My name's Teresa. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Teresa. We love you, Teresa. Lots and lots.
And a whole
bunches.
Bunches.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you for your patience, Ashley. That was really funny. Sorry, you guys. Like, I thought it was 12:40 my time, California time. And I literally went to sleep, like an hour ago or something. I thought I had like 3 hours. And I kept saying, why is the phone ringing? I'm sorry. I was like, oh, and I even asked the sponsee to call me because I knew I was going to bed. I only had like 2 or 3 hours. I've been doing homework all night. That was funny. And I finally answered and Ashley's like, are you coming? I'm like, coming where? That was funny. I'm sorry. And the funny thing is most people have been asking me about Zoom. And there are some conferences and meetings that had asked me, similar to Ashley. And I was a little salty. I told them, I'm so sorry, because that was really delirious. you know, most people ask me, like, do audio and video, and I'm like, I don't, that's not the issue that I have. The issue I have is with time zones. And clearly, that's what happened to me today. Sorry. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. Oh. So, again, thank you so much for inviting me. I want to welcome our new friends. Welcome home. We've been praying for you. I'm glad you're here. Keep coming back. It's going to be all right. We've been praying for you. So just hold on. Just stay with us one day at a time. And all the old timers, thank you for my life and my sobriety. My sobriety date is March 29, 1990. I just had a birthday, folks. So, but for the grace of God, 30 years, that's pretty insane. I'm still trying to take that in. Yeah, I was 24 when I came to you. I'm like 54 going on 55. I'm having a new experience. I'm coming into some new age maturity. I'm having menopause and all kinds of stuff going on. But and I just keep telling people, you need to give me a minute because I am present for this experience. So anyway. Thank you all so much for having me. So I'm on step two, and lack of power is my dilemma, and that has not changed. The only good news is that I have tapped into a source of power today that I get to watch do for me what I can't do for myself. Aside from the fact that I'm a little half delirious, I'm always uncomfortable. This is awkward and intimidating. So let me get that out of the way, trying to act like I'm cool, but really I'm not, especially with limited amount of sleep and showing up late. So I'm even more awkward. But anyway, step two. Oh, yes, Mom. You know, I think aside from what we read, there's a piece in the big book that talks about this peculiar mental twist. And I think, I don't know about anybody else, but when I heard how the disease is centered in my thinking, and it has this thing called the allergy of the body. And when I was able to really examine my relationship with alcohol based on what I have come to understand alcoholism is, I tell people, once I conceded to my innermost self, once I was able to connect all of the dots, then I am truly an alcoholic. And that there's nothing under any human aid, any human power that will keep me and stop me from doing what that is that I'm doing. As bad as it is, I still end up doing it anyway. No matter how much I tell myself I'm not going to, I do it anyway. That once I finally reach that clear awareness, I had no other choice but to run the step two. Do you know what I mean? To go into two. I just find it interesting. I'm like, I like ran to the remaining steps. And I didn't, I'm going to use this term because I don't know how else to use it, but I didn't masturbate on that for a long time, right? It was kind of very clear that I was in trouble. My relationship with alcohol and drugs was not cute. And I was in trouble. And for me to drink was to die, and a physical death would be a luxury for me. It was a horrific spiritual death that I had to wake up to that over and over and over again, and I couldn't do another 24 hours like that. And so we talked about step two, and now this to me always hits home, and it was when Bill opened up the door and he saw Evie. And it's what he saw that captured his attention, because he saw something different about his friend. And that's what I saw in all of you. I saw something about you. I wasn't quite sure what you had going on, but I saw something. And it wasn't until Evie began talking to Bill, and Bill tried to get him to take a drink, and he didn't. And then, of course, typical alcoholic, how Bill just says, well, maybe there's just more booze for me. But when Evie starts talking about saying he found a God or he found religion, I love how Bill says his mind closed shut. But in a way, his mind didn't close shut. Because he began to think about his relationship and idea of God. And that's exactly what ended up happening for me. Step two invites me to consider that there is a power greater than me that can restore me to sanity. Now, I didn't need to trip for a long time on whether I was insane or not, because the evidence that I just had in discovering that I was an alcoholic and addict and what that looked like, what my alcoholism looked like, was sufficient enough to know that there was some insanity, because normal people don't do what I was doing. So I didn't spend a whole lot of time on that. Like, maybe I'm not insane. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I have a lot of examples that clearly told me that what I'm doing just is not. Something's off about that. And so something greater than me had to restore me. And I saw it in you. I did. I saw it in you. I saw how many people would go up to a podium or in a circle and share how they were pimps, dealers, hustlers, gangsters, lived in prisons, you know what I mean? Barflies, mothers who hid their bottles in cabinets until their kids went to school, or teachers who drank at the parking lot between, and they weren't doing that no more. And that somehow they were aware that they had alcoholism. They were clearly aware that they did. And they knew that the only solution here was a spiritual solution, that this was a spiritual remedy. And I saw it in them. And just like Bill, the way he did with Ebby, I didn't think there was something that you had an edge up on me, that there was something that you had that I could not acquire. I saw that whatever that was you had, I can't put my finger on it. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I too can have it if I follow some simple rules. And in the big book, when we look at it, it tells me that the main purpose of this book is so that they can outline what it is that they found and they discovered and that I have access to. And that I suffer from a spiritual malady. And now I need to go on this journey of really examining my relationship with this idea of a higher power. And can I believe, is it possible, is it at all possible that you have tapped into this source of power that I may not, it may not be tangible to me, I may not be able to define it or understand it, but is it possible that just maybe I can discover it for myself? Do I need to dismantle old ideas? Am I willing to get rid of what I've been holding on to all this time, to claim that this power doesn't love me, has abandoned me, doesn't care about me, and that this wasn't a religious program? And just like Bill, where Bill began to think about all the pompous and the arrogance and the judgments and the things that he saw in the churches and what led him away from the church, or what led him away from his idea of God because of contradiction, I began to examine my old ideas about that. Because that could not stand in the way of the truth of the matter is that I am powerless over my alcoholism. And the truth of the matter is, as much as I want to say I don't believe in a higher power, or a higher power has abandoned me, or I don't believe in religion, or any particular person, place, or thing, or I have issues with the God thing, the truth is that I came to rely and depend on my higher power, and it's called alcohol. Because it told me when to get up, when to go to bed, where to live and not to live. My total reliance was on alcohol. And that was my higher power. Whether, as it talks about in chapter 2, agnostics, I could think about the God of reason, where I relied on reason and rationale to make choices and decisions. I always had a higher power. I turned my will in my life to a lot of things and a lot of people. And it was always insufficient. But somehow my mind told me that it was enough. for whatever it is that I was driving at and what I wanted to gain. It was sufficient enough. And alcohol no longer became that higher power when it betrayed me, abandoned me, and left me emotionally retarded with no coping skills. And I came to you knowing I needed another higher power. I have never been under the illusion that somehow I can live life on my own. That's not, I didn't drink like that. I'm born addicted and drank my whole life. And because I drank my whole life, my reliance was on alcohol. So I'm in trouble. I can't breathe without it, and I need another oxygen tank. And you told me where I was going to find it, that it lied inside of me. And that the whole purpose of this book and this journey is to uncover and discover so that I can obtain and maintain a relationship with this newfound power that you found. And to be restored to sanity is to me the gift of awareness. The gift of awareness enough to know that I can't, but maybe you can. I can't, maybe he can. See, the delusion that I had been under is that somehow, someday, some way, I will control and you know what I mean, and manage. That's the illusion. That's the delusion. And I'm asking for that to be restored, that sanity to be restored, because I have countless evidence that says that that's not happening, but I will tell myself that it's possible to obtain it. And I need that to be restored so that I can fully see the untruth about what my disease is constantly telling me. And step two is an invitation to that. And all you ask me to do on two is to believe that. I don't have to be complete. As a matter of fact, old timers would tell me, what step are you on? And I would tell them, and they say, I can't talk to you till you get to step 10, because that's when sanity returns. And so I don't immediately get sanity in two. All I do is believe that it's possible. I remember, I don't know what class I took, and somebody talked about belief. And they said how Christopher Columbus believed the world was round. And so the first time when they went out on their voyage, he told the lookout guy that should they reach the end of Earth, to let him know so they could turn around. It wasn't until after a few trips that he realized that they weren't going to fall off the end of the Earth, and then had a sense of faith in knowing that the world was round. And so when I come into step two, I get to believe, I don't know if I'm going to fall off the cliff. And so I'm kind of, you know what I mean? I hold on to you. And I'm willing to take the next move. But I don't fully believe, I just believe. I believe that it's possible. And I know sometimes people get really caught up in needing to know God and their understanding of God and defining that. That wasn't necessary for me. All I needed to know was that there was one and it wasn't me. I wasn't quite sure which one I was going to acquire or obtain and discover, but I was willing to go on the journey and the voyage to do that. I needed to be willing to let go of any of my old ideas and prejudices. And I grew up with a lot of abuse. Many people have heard my story. And I went to Catholic school and I was around a lot of priests and priestesses. So, of course, I got issues. Am I willing to set that aside or to examine that for a minute? Just so that I can discover this power you guys are talking about that has restored mothers to their homes and fathers to their homes and sons and daughters, as though we've been in a war and the war is over and you've come home and I'm still in the battle and didn't know that the war ended and somebody waved the flag a long time ago. Am I willing to do that? And I was. I love the simplicity of this program. I just do, always have. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time figuring anything out. As a matter of fact, I was taught that I was most dangerous was trying to figure it out. Had to dummy up and keep it really simple. I love how they discuss, you know, we talk about Didn't I always want to believe? Didn't I wish to believe in something? I get to take a look at that. How many times did I pray and I ask? Whether it was a selfish prayer or a demanding prayer, I was praying to what? You know, I love when this thing that says God is either everything or he is nothing. And I think that's an oxymoron. Because if he's nothing, how can I claim him to be nothing? Then he has to be something. But you say, I argue with the issue that there's no God. The fact that I'm even arguing that there is one tells me there is one. If I wouldn't be arguing, you know what I mean? If there really wasn't a God, I would have no argument. I would have no argument. What am I arguing about? There, one does not exist. So therefore, I must believe it's something, even if I'm mad at it, even if I don't like the idea of it, even if I'm disturbed about it. That's how I've seen it. There is one. Because the one that exists, I have an issue. So that means one exists. But I didn't know it ain't me. Is it possible to find this power that isn't as bad as I've known it to be or understood it to be? Is it possible? That's all that's an invitation to. Can I believe that it's possible? Well, I have some evidence. Most of you have shared how you have been restored to sanity. And that you don't think the way you think anymore. You don't do the things that you used to do anymore. And that's a direct result of these steps and tapping into this source of power. So if that's true for thousands of men and women, and I see evidence, I love how Ralph says God with skin on it in the rooms, then the only thing that would defy that is what I've come to understand, the disease centered in my thinking, that will tell me that even with that level of evidence, to deny it as not true, just so that I won't get help, just so that I won't recover, just so I can go back to the bottle or whatever anybody likes, the pipe, the needle, whatever. And that's what I learned. My disease is centered in my thinking. And anything that tells me the contrary is a setup so I could drink. And I'm not doing it. So am I willing to believe? And all you ever asked of me was a mustard seed of willingness. Not much. And I know that I have had more than a mustard seed to chase a bottle or anything else. So I think I can apply a mustard seed to chase this idea of this power that has restored you, can restore me. And they begin to talk about that in chapter the agnostics. There's a lot of questions it asks me. Who am I to say there isn't one? And I've always revisit that chapter. My sponsor used to talk about reading that over and over again and asking myself those questions in there. Who am I to say? Haven't I always wanted to? Didn't I always rely on? Hadn't I always had faith? I need to start dismantling how my disease is always lying to me about what's real. Yes, I have. Aren't I willing to trust in electricity so easily? Aren't I willing to trust in the bartender or the dope dealer so easily? And now I'm talking about I got trust issues. Let's get real up in here. You know, that's how it was put to me. You know, and you call it what it is. I just choose to decide what I trust in. But I trust that you're going to abandon me. I trust that you're going to leave me. I trust that nobody loves me. Is it possible to learn a different version of that trust? Is what this step was an invitation to. Is it possible that just maybe, Teresa, you don't have all the answers? Is it possible? Is it possible that some of that has been a lie? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I always like sharing this, and somebody's got to tell me my time. I don't know. All of a sudden, I've woken up. I'm going to roll. Ashley, somebody's watching me.
You have till the top of the hour.
I don't know what that is because, you know, I'm already thrown off with.
You have 45 minutes.
Okay. And I hope the time zone is okay in this other thing. I'm supposed to be speaking out at 2. I hope I didn't mess that up. Sorry, guys. Let me make sure. Okay. I hope the time zone is fine. 2:30. I don't know. Okay. So somebody will be calling me and I'll know I got to sign off. They'll do like, Ashley, Teresa, you ready? I'm like, no, but I guess so. Oh, goodness. I remember in Sweden, and I always share this because it really stood out to me. I remember in Sweden, we did really good on step one. Everybody was in on it. We talked about being allergic to peanuts, you know, and when you're allergic to peanuts, I was sharing with them, I don't know about you, but I know people with peanut allergies, and they don't be like, well, maybe I can have peanut butter. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's the peanuts in the shell. And most people, we were doing really good with that whole analogy and powerlessness and unmanageability. And so the answer lies in two. And I learned that the answer to that step is always in the very next step. So if you want to know what to do about step one, we look to step two. And it goes on and on. And so when we got to step two, everyone was like, stop the presses. We were doing really good on step one, but now that we've gotten to two, there's a problem. And at the time, I didn't realize that the entire country is agnostic. Everything is baseless, so they don't like you driven. You're going against like generations of our country's mode of ethics, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, oh, snap. So how do we do this? Now, it was interesting to see that the desperation of sobriety, some were willing to give up centuries of this concept and idea just for 24 hours to remain sober. So they were willing to do that. And then there were those that were kind of hesitant. And what agnostics look at is that there is a God, but that God doesn't play a specific role with how we live our life down here, right? And so I began to examine that idea. And did I want a higher power that was a puppeteer and I'm just a mere pawn on a chessboard? That would be kind of interesting. It's no wonder if I believe that, I would think that this God should move me in the directions that I think I should be moved, or give me a parking space, or let me win the lotto, right? Because it's the puppeteer or the master, you know what I mean, of the entire orchestra, and perhaps it can give me a different instrument to work with. But it was interesting to think about electricity. And what does that mean to tap into a source of power? And is it a dictatorship? And is that why every time I think about trusting and relying on that higher power, I'm terrified that I'm never going to get anything I want? Anything I desire, anything I wish for, where does that come from? I was telling that to a sponsor. Isn't that interesting that every time I think about I have to turn my will and my life over to God, or turn a situation over to God, or ask God for help, why is it that my knee-jerk reaction is that I'm not going to get what I want? Where does that come from? I just find that fascinating. Is there a reason why when I don't think about turning it over to God that all of a sudden I know it's going to happen, it's going to be immaculate, it's going to be the best thing ever? Instead, it's like a parent, you know what I mean? Don't tell mom and dad, we'll never get the cookies, you know, like... Whatever you do, don't tell them because we can't go to the party. And I needed to look at that. But anyway, because I'm always like, what is that all about? And so I was thinking back to electricity. And so it was as though how I understood this was like this. Okay. I don't realize all these years I've been living and stumbling and falling, I didn't know that there was a thing called the Department of Water and Power. I had no idea about the Department of Water and Power. I kind of heard about it now and then, and I ran into some people sometimes talking about it, but it just seemed just too controlling or something was weird about it, so I didn't really look into it. But here I come into recovery because I've been banged up and beat up, especially at night, and I haven't eaten. I'm hungry. I'm exhausted. I'm lonely because I'm always in the dark and running into things. And I come to you and you guys tell me there's a thing called the Department of Water and Power. And you need a source of electricity in your home. I don't understand it. I don't know what it is. And I've never used it. But thank God you tell me I don't have to spend time trying to figure out what it is in order to have it or obtain it. I just need to know that there's a thing called Department of Water and Power. And I need to sign up immediately and believe that once I do, I will now have this source of power in my home. And so I contact Department of Water and Power. I do what I need to do, and now I have it in my house. Now, you know what's interesting about electricity in the home? I was telling them, I don't know about you, but and this has, okay, this could be happening to you, so I'm not going to assume that it's not. And if it is, that's called paranormal activity, and that's another type of meeting in another class. Okay, I'm not going to eliminate that it's possible this doesn't happen. And the other time I've only seen this happen is under dictatorship. I have been in a third world country where it's a dictatorship, and they determine what's on the TV at what time and when. But outside of those two things, right? Electricity does not tell me what to do in my house. That's what I'm saying. Unless yours does, that's a different conversation and a different topic, okay? But electricity is a source of power. It's such a source of power that it's greater than all of us, because this source of power is all over the world and can operate in multiple places and multiple times for multiple people instantaneously. And I can't even catch enough to understand it. But what I do know, that once I have this source of power and I have access to it, that now in my home, I have this thing called choices. Where before, when I didn't have electricity, I was stumbling and I knew people were in the home, especially at night. I knew they were there, but I just couldn't see them. I would hear them sometimes, but I couldn't see them. And with this thing called electricity, I was now able, the lights came on, and I was able to see the people that were in my home. And it allowed me to go to the refrigerator and get food. Now, I don't remember electricity saying, because it has all power, and because I can't survive without it, it's going to tell me when I can go get food in the refrigerator. That source of power doesn't say to me, Teresa, you now can read a book, and I'm going to turn this lamp on. And when I turn this lamp on, you're going to sit down and read this book. You're now going to watch this television program, and I'm going to tell you which channel, and you'll know by the channel that I put on for you. So there's a source of power like electricity that, A, I don't have to figure out how it works, but I know it exists because you're all using it. And B, somehow this source of power is doing something completely different than all the other sources of power that I have relied on. All the other sources of power, whether it's alcohol, down a bottle, a needle, a pill, a relationship, a job, all the sources of power. There's something about those powers that was different from this one. Those powers kept me in bondage and hostage and took away my power of choice. Fascinating to me. I had no choice. It was like a dictatorship, as though it was a puppeteer. The strings were always being pulled, regardless of what direction I wanted to go and what it was that I wanted to do. But you found this type of power called the Department of Water and Power that will infuse, as long as I know I need access to it, I need to pay on a regular basis, I need to pay into it in order to obtain it. I need to respect and know that it's there, turn to it and rely on it. Don't take it for granted, acknowledge Department of Water and Power exists, electricity exists, utilize it, turn to it, and when I do that, something miraculously happens. I now have the freedom to walk about and move about. I now can see, can hear. It was amazing to me. I don't know if anybody else is tripping. I've been tripping ever since, and I've been here 30 years. I'm still tripping. I was like, I didn't even know this was happening. I didn't even know this was going on. I'm telling you all, that's what happened to me when I heard that from you.
and I don't ever want to lose access to that power. And I will do everything I can to keep this source of power moving through and in and out of my life and in my home, because this is the only source of power that I discovered that has actually, I get emotional. I just want to cry. People wonder why I have passion and excitement and enthusiasm, because that's the great news that this book brings, that nothing else ever brought to me. I've sold my soul, my body, given up everything I wanted and loved for that other sources of power that did nothing but rob me and take from me, deplete me, throw me away, chew me up, use me. Oh my goodness, kept me in the dark. And y'all tapped into a source of power that did something completely different. He was like, Teresa, can you get any more excited? Maybe I can, because that is like freaking amazing. And if you discover that, I would think you would get excited too, if you be drunk like me. I ain't gotta do that no more. Are you serious right now? That's how I've been since I've been here. What are you saying to me? Where's the Department of Water and Power? Because all I know is I've been trying to accomplish that and I have not been successful. That's what I've been trying to accomplish. That's what I've been trying to accomplish. And I keep coming up short. And that was because I ain't tapped into the Department of Water and Power. I tapped into some funny other companies disguising themselves as a Department of Water and Power, but they weren't the Department of Water and Power. And all I needed to believe is that you found the right one and you've been given the power of choice. So being restored to sanity is the power of choice. I'm so grateful for the gift of awareness that I know what I suffer from today. That I don't have to walk around wondering if I'm an alcoholic or not. I always say there's a lot of things I may not know in my life. Sometimes I may not really know who God is and what God is. I don't need to know. I just know that there is one. Sometimes I don't know who you are. Sometimes I don't know where I'm working, where I'm living, where I'm going, what I'm doing. I don't need to know all that. There's one thing that I believe I always need to know. I mean, really, really know. And that is that I'm an alcoholic. The day I forget that I'm an alcoholic, I'm in trouble. The day and every day that I remember that I am an alcoholic, there's hope for me. There's hope for me because there is a solution. You see, if I'm not an alcoholic, then why do I need a solution and why do I need a higher power? I don't need step two. So sometimes I tell a newcomer, I wish you the gift of desperation because you're like, I ain't got no more straws to draw. I got no more chips in the game. I got no more cards on the table. I'm down. What y'all doing? I'm an alcoholic. I'm in trouble. What have you found? I've been to enough hospitals as a caregiver since 2005, the most of my family members. That's my alarm to wake up for your meeting. Anyway, I've been to most hospitals and sat across people given a diagnosis of a chronic illness. And each and every one of them are desperate to find out the treatment. This is the only illness that when discovered I have it, I tell the doctor, the therapist, or whatever, thank you so much, I'm gonna go home and figure out how to handle it. That's the insidiousness of this illness. But when I'm very clear that I'm suffering from that, and I'm terrified of the idea of being riddled with it, and that there's nothing I can do about it, I'm beyond human aid. No human power is going to relieve me. I run to this step with the utmost desperation and hope that I can discover what it is that you found. the one that has all power, that has so much power that it gives me the power of choice. And how do I know I end up having the power of choice? Because the answer to two is in three. Oh, man, these steps are a trip. How can I make a decision if I haven't been given the power of choice? Crazy. I love these steps. How else could I do that? And all I had to do was believe. That's all I had to do. I saw it in you, as Bill saw it in Evie. And I just start taking the action and I make a decision. How do I make a decision? When all I know that before every decision I made was to just drink again. How does that happen, folks? Every waking decision I ever made before I came to you was to drink again. How does that happen? I don't know, y'all. I don't know. How does that happen? I'm still in awe. I'm still in awe. All I have to do is believe and take the next step. And I now can choose something. I can finally choose something that's going to be great for all. Something I've always wanted to do. I was just tapping into the wrong sources of power. I'm not a bad person. I have an illness. I don't remember when my brother found out he had cancer that he walked away full of shame that he couldn't go to his boys' games. And you know what I mean? He didn't walk away like that. He knew he had an illness and it had to be treated. My father had Parkinson's. Did they want to have Parkinson's? Does mommy want to have Alzheimer's? Did my uncle want to have cancer? Did my best friend want to have cancer? No, but they had it. And they knew that they had no power over it. And they had to tap into some source of power, whether it was called chemo or radiation. And usually it was the chemo radiation that killed you other than the cancer. And that's what it feels like doing the steps sometimes. But this program is going to take me out other than alcohol, bitch. I'd be in a fetal position around here. You know what I'm saying? And I just tell people, you need to give me a minute. Because I'm present for my experience. I'm awake. Hold on a second. All I know, when I was out there, I was oblivious and I was drunk and I didn't even notice the consequences. Now I'm present. I'm going to share this. I've been cracking up because I know I've been talking about this a lot because it's really true, because we are in the middle of a pandemic, right? And I've just been loving how people have been saying, I don't know what I would do if I wasn't in recovery. I'm so grateful that I'm in recovery and I'm sober today. I don't know where I would be if I was still drinking in a pandemic. And I'd be like, and I always say, I do. I don't know about you, but if I was still drinking, first of all, I wouldn't even know there was a pandemic, okay? And the only indication that I would have that something is slightly off is probably while I'm at a bar or at a dope house or something, I look at somebody and go, why do you have on a mask? So that's the only extent to where I would kind of awaken to what was happening and would think it's kind of strange that everybody's walking around like that. But trust me, I would not spend a lot of time pondering on what can possibly be going on because I'm on a mission getting the next one. Right? That's what I would be doing. I had my own pandemic and I've been quarantined. I quarantined myself for years, especially when I hit my bottom and I was at the end. I didn't go outside anyway, and I didn't need a governor or a mayor or a president to tell me that. I was locked up in my house. So I wouldn't even know there was a quarantine because I quarantined myself long before you guys quarantine yourselves according to the state emergency, okay? That's another reason why I wouldn't know anything was going on. And it wouldn't really matter to me. and that stimulus check, I would have been spent that stimulus check before it even came. I would have promised that stimulus check to about 4 or 5 bartenders, dope dealers, and everybody. And then when the stimulus check did come, I wouldn't have went and paid them back. I would have went and spent it somewhere else. So I'm very clear on what I would have been doing if there was a pandemic. I'm grateful that I'm sober today, but here's the deal if you knew. The only reason why I'm worried about this pandemic, the only reason why I'm so overwhelmingly concerned is because I'm sober and I'm sane today, that I have the wherewithal to actually notice what's going on in this world. And it's an interesting experience, newcomer. You know what it is? It's called other-centeredness. I'm actually aware that there are other people in the world and they're going through something like that. That's the one sign for me during this pandemic that tells me this program works, because I'm literally concerned about everybody around the world. I've been tripping on that. I've been like, oh my God, what's going on with everybody? The other thing that I find interesting is for an alcoholic like myself, okay, that couldn't wait to die, invited death in her life, just couldn't wait to death to take me out. As a matter of fact, I was my own assassin, and I hired many assassins, but they never showed up to do the job. I don't think I paid them off. I don't know what happened, but I was always on a mission, right, to get up out of this camp. And this is how I know the program works. Today, I am concerned about catching COVID-19 because I could die. That's what I see. I was like, this program works, because I'm literally going, I can't go outside because I could die. I was like, ah. I don't know. Wait. I don't know about you, but I think that's hysterical. I'm really worried about dying. I've been tripping on that. I'm like, oh my God. Like, life has become really important. It's like, I actually value life today. I don't want to lose it. Do you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm about to pee in my pants. That's some real stuff, y'all. And then I'm concerned, like, I can't get my mom, you know, because she's a high risk and I'm a high risk. And so anybody who does visit, they have to come with a mask and all this kind of stuff. Oh, my God. And I be telling folks, I'm like, no, man, I can't mess around because I could die. I'm like, this program works. I have been restored to sanity. Oh, my God. My time's gotta be up. I must be so silly. You know what? I've been going to school. I've been sharing this a lot, right? I've been going to school. I'm a full-time student, and it is wearing my ass out. I'm like getting no sleep, hardly eating. But I saw this thing on television, and the person said to them, I forgot what they asked them, but they were like, are you kidding? I'm a student. We don't eat and we don't sleep. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm normal. Okay. And so, anyway. Oh, yes, I'm grateful for my life. I enjoy being a student. And just recently I was in my, what do you call it? I'm so sad that I can't pronounce this group that I'm in. I need to learn how to pronounce this. I don't think it's fair to the group if I can't even pronounce a group that I'm a part of. I still can't pronounce it when I look at it, but it's Pi Theta Kappa. Pi Kappa Theta. What the hell is that? Beta Kappa Tappa Bappa, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, right? Pi Theta Kappa. English is a funny, I don't know what this is, but you know what it is, right? So you can't see it if I go like this because it's backwards. But by Theta Kappa Theta, I don't know. But all I know is that I'm sitting in this group, and I was like, it almost felt like one time at a conference that they were singing If I Had a Hammer. You know, I remember early in recovery, I was at a woman's conference, and the lady had a guitar, and she was singing, "If I Had a Hammer," you know that song, right? "If I Had a Hammer," "If I Had a Bell, I'd ring it in the morning." And I remember when you first started singing that, I was like, "You've got to be kidding me." I was like, my coolness has totally gone out the window. And then within like the next second or third verse, I was like, "One more time." I've always wanted to sing that song. I was just trying to be too cool to not tell you. So now I'm sitting in our meeting on Zoom with the Beta Kappa Wappa, whatever we are. And I'm sitting there going, I can't believe I'm hanging out with a bunch of geeks. I'm actually hanging out with some geeks, but I'm loving it. You know, like, we're the geek crowd. We're the honor students, right? And everybody's talking about going to Yale and Harvard and engineers. And I'm like, at one part of me felt like I was an imposter and they were going to find out that I snuck into the group, right? They're going to be like, "Who is that lady online with us?" But then I was like, no, I belong here. I'm actually smart. All my life, I was told that I was a stupid idiot and incompetent and unworthy of existing. And now I'm sitting in some group called Beta Kappa Wappa. I can't pronounce it, but I know what they mean. And it's our honor society, and that we work really, really hard and we do well in our classes. And so I had a moment of being there where I felt very proud. I felt very, very proud of just this, just what we're experiencing right now, being with people like you, giving me that mustard seed of willingness, telling me to just do it one moment at a time, one class at a time, one assignment at a time, do what's in front of me, trust in whatever this idea is of this higher power, and then sit back and have an experience. And that's all I've done. So I'm excited of who's coming up next. I guess they're not calling me yet, but I don't know what time now. I have to speak on there on step 10 and 11. But that's all I know. All I know is this, and it works. And it's worked for me. If you knew, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. That's what old timers tell me. I don't know what you're going to do. But this is what we have done. And if you want what we have, then you do what we do and just see what happens. And if you don't, that's okay too. They used to tell me, just keep coming back. You know what I'm saying? Just keep coming back. And so if nobody told you they love you today, I really, really do. I'm going to say you did a 12-step call on me. I don't know how genuine that is at the moment, because I could have been sleepy. Normally, that's really, really true. I always tell people, you know, you don't have to wake up and talk about sobriety. If you were sleeping, you wouldn't be drinking. But no. But I know I will feel lighter. I am full of gratitude and just so grateful that I had an opportunity to share my experience with you. Thank you so much for allowing me to do that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Teresa. I love you.